of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. In today's episode, we are going to look back at the memorable 2009 playoff season for the Angels. But before getting into today's episode, just some basic housekeeping stuff. As a reminder, I'm still away from social media right now. So if you want to contact me, you can do so at BrentJMaguire94@gmail.com. You can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates, and if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast on any of your favorite podcasting platforms. So welcome back. Hope you had a good weekend, enjoyed watching some World Series baseball. I'm recording this before Game 5 of the World Series, so whatever I have to say about this current series is going to be a little outdated by the time you hear this, but coming off that Game 4 Rays walk-off win, that was one of the craziest World Series games that I have ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that ending where there was so much chaos happening all across the field that resulted in the Dodgers losing just an absolutely heartbreaking game. I cannot imagine being a fan in that moment. That was just absolutely brutal. So like I said, this will be outdated by the time you're hearing it, but yeah, that was a rough game. But yeah, as this series is winding down, we're getting much closer to the offseason, and the Angels, as of right now, there's not much other news about the team. I obviously talked last week about some of the GM candidates that were listed by some prominent baseball writers, so we have news on that front. But other than that, and the news on Max Stassi's injury that could keep him out for the beginning of next season, that's basically all we have right now. But as we get into November, the Angels are obviously going to be hiring their next GM at some point. We're going to be seeing action in terms of free agency and trades and all that kind of stuff. So something I'll definitely be doing coming up is doing a preview of all of the positions that the Angels need some help at and looking at ways they can do so. So you can expect that coming at some point soon once I kind of get through the rest of these playoff reflections. And speaking of those reflections, today's episode is going to be allocated to the 2009 team. So I'll do what I've done in previous episodes. I'll probably spend some more time using audio for this episode just because some of the highlights from that season are just so fun. They had a deep playoff run that year, and there's so many moments that I actually had to cut some down because I couldn't possibly get all of them in for this episode. So as usual, I'm using my playoff reflection from Crashing the Pearly Gates. I will link that in the podcast description if you want to go check that out. I did a series earlier this year looking back at every single playoff team. But yeah, this 2009 team was probably my favorite team ever. Just from a personal standpoint, this was a fun team to watch. I mean, they were extremely good, top to bottom. They outscored their opponents by 122 runs. They were versatile. They were very good offensively. But really, just like on a more meaningful level, this was a very emotional season for the Angels. I mean, everybody remembers that the very beginning of the season, Nick Adenhart, 22-year-old, pitches an absolute gem against the Oakland A's. And this was coming off of a season where he really struggled as a rookie in 2008. And he really put this incredible start together and was tragically killed in a car accident late that night, early the next morning. And it was just absolutely brutal. I was at that game, and it was insane. I was young at the time, but just being able to watch him pitch like that and, you know, seeing him dominate a major league lineup and then waking up the next morning to the news was just, it was gut-wrenching. And I was present at the next game and a lot of other games after that. And if I'm just speaking from a personal standpoint, I mean, it was just like this incredible, It was a horrible moment, but the response from the Angels the rest of that season was incredible. And I was just fully sucked in. I just absolutely enjoyed watching this team, and just the emotional response and the way that they played on the field for the rest of the year was really just incredible. Obviously, they won the ALDS against Boston. I will touch on that plenty in this episode. But yeah, this was just a very, very fun team to watch. So like I've done in previous episodes, we're going to first look at the position players and then take a look at the pitchers. So this is one of the best offenses in franchise history. Their 883 runs scored were the most in franchise history, second only to the eventual World Series champion Yankees in 2009. And they were pretty much top 10 in every other possible statistic. They were first in batting average, top 10 in wins above replacement, on base percentage, slugging percentage, stolen bases. They were just really, really good. And I think what was so impressive about this team was it wasn't like there were elite players on this team. I mean, Sean Figgins was very good that season, finished with 6.6 wins above replacement, but I don't think anybody was mistaking him for some big household name at the time. But, you know, he led the way, but there were so many other position players that contributed this year or that year. There were no other players that finished above 3.8 wins above replacement, but you had eight other guys who were basically between 2 to 4 wins, and that is remarkable. It's really just insane to think about how balanced that team was. And I mean, they had some good players that year. I mean, Torii Hunter had his best season with the Angels to date. Kendry Morales had a breakout season, finished fifth in MVP voting, crushed a ton of home runs. Bobby Abreu in his first year was really solid, one of the best free agent signings for the Angels in the last, I don't know, decade or so. But you had other guys, Juan Rivera, Mike Napoli, Eric Ibar, Meiser Turz, Howie Kendrick, and even Vladimir Guerrero in his last year, which was like an injury-riddled season where he was clearly on the decline, still finished with an above-average batting line. And you look at the entirety of this offense, and they were just so good. And a statistic that I heard earlier this year was from Major League Baseball writer Mike Petriello, and he said that the 2009 Angels and the 1983 Yankees were the only two teams in baseball history that had 10 hitters with a league average or better hitting performance. I mean, that is insane. And then how can you forget the day in August where they rolled out an entire lineup of 300 hitters? I mean, that is just something that we're never going to see that again, especially the way that baseball is going with the drop in batting averages and rise in strikeouts. I mean, the Angels are probably the last team that will ever do something like that. In terms of the pitching, this was probably the part of the team that cost the Angels a real shot at the World Series. I mean, they were fine, but they were pretty mediocre. I mean, you look at pretty much every single stat. If you're looking at wins above replacement, strikeouts, walks, ERA, all that kind of stuff, they were basically league average, a little bit below in a lot of areas. So they weren't awful, but they also weren't contributing a ton. For the most part, they did what they needed to do to supplement one of the best offenses in all of baseball. And it wasn't like there weren't good pitchers on this team. I mean, Jared Weaver, John Lackey were extremely good that season. But beyond those two, there were a lot of question marks. And you look at the biggest difference, I think you look at Joe Saunders and Irvin Santana, two guys that were all-stars in 2008, just regressed in a huge way. So coming into the season, they were expecting those guys to be progressing as young starters coming off big seasons. That's not what happened. They were both pretty bad that year. And if it weren't for Matt Palmer, who was a just out of nowhere surprise, who pitched in a lot of innings with an above average ERA, or the late season acquisition of Scott Kazmir. Yes, I know he was really bad after this year, but he was really, really good in his 2009 regular season sample with the Angels. Without those two, this was a team that was going to really, really struggle. And what was extremely weird that year was this was like a real transition from the Angels having these dominant elite bullpens to just not a very good bullpen. And obviously you lost Francisco Rodriguez, Jose Arredondo dropped off in a major way. So there were a lot of guys that really had to carry the weight for those two not being there. And it was tough. I mean, you had Darren Oliver, Jason Bulger, Brian Fuentes. Those guys were fine, but they weren't gonna shut down a ton of games for the Angels, and that was a big part that they struggled in the ALCS eventually against the New York Yankees. But the Angels ended up winning the division pretty handily. This was just a fun season, pretty much from beginning to end. But yeah, I mean, everybody remembers the playoff run. I will touch on this more with some of the audio highlights here in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, coming off of those losses in the ALDS against Boston in 2008, 2007, 2004, and all the way back to 1986, I think people were rightfully scared about what was going to happen in the ALDS, and obviously the Angels came up in a big way, dominated Game 1 against the Red Sox, win Game 2 at home, send it to Boston, up 2-0 in the series, and they're trailing late into that game, and they pull off a phenomenal comeback that was capped by Vladimir Guerrero's go-ahead single in the 9th inning against Jonathan Papelbon. I mean, it was just, you couldn't have scripted it more perfectly. It was just, it was something that the Angels franchise needed, and so, as someone who was there at both of the home games in that ALDS, it was like this incredible moment or moments, and where this weight was lifted off your shoulders, you're like, finally, they were able to beat the Red Sox and move on in the playoffs. And, you know, you look at the ALCS, and obviously they didn't end up winning, and it was kind of a gut-wrenching series. They had a real shot to make it to the World Series that year, but came up short against a New York Yankees team that was just really, really good. I mean, you look at the names on that team. Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, CeCe Sabathia, Andy Pettit, Jorge Posada, Robinson Cano. I mean, that was just a really freaking good team. But, you know, you look at the way things played out in this series, it was very possible that the Angels were going to be playing in the World Series that year. I mean, Game 1 was a pretty rough one. The Angels got beat pretty handily. But Game 2, if people remember that game, that was where the Angels took the lead in extra innings, and then Alex Rodriguez tied it up with a home run in extra innings, and the Angels lose in the 13th inning on a walk-off error by Maicers Torres. If they win that game, this series is probably looking a lot different, because they went on and won Game 3, got crushed in Game 4, but they win Game 5 to send it back to New York. And if they were up 3-2 going back to New York, maybe this series is looking different. But ultimately, they lose in Game 6. They were so agonizingly close to making it to the World Series. And that was the last time that the Angels were that close to getting back to the World Series. Coming up in a bit, we're going to bring back some of the best and most memorable highlights from the 2009 season. But first, let me tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is one of the best tasting protein bars on the market right now. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than it's ever been before. With 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new flavors such as lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, or apple almond crisp, these are some of the best tasting bars out there right now. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they are soft and easy to chew. And maybe most importantly, Built Bars are healthy. They are great for both the health-conscious guy or gal. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber, and they are great for any kind of diet that you are on. And for a limited time, you can get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. As the season is winding down, I want to give a quick plug to both the Locked On Dodgers and Locked On Rays podcast. Make sure to go check them out. Get up-to-date information about the current 2020 World Series. So let's get into this and look back at some of the memorable moments of the 2009 season. And I do want to start this off by bringing up the audio from Nick Adenhart's last start. And this audio was from, I believe it was This Week in Baseball from Fox Sports. And this was a tough one to watch at the time. They did a really, really nice special kind of dedicating some time to Adenhart and getting some thoughts from some of the current players. So this audio was from This Week in Baseball, which I found on YouTube.
The 2-2, got him. A high fastball swung on and missed. He struck him out. He is pitching by far his best game in his Major League career.
Nick threw 6 scoreless innings in just his 4th big league start, and the promise of the future was there for all to see. But in the blink of an eye, he was gone.
So like I mentioned before, I was at his last start, and I was at the following game following the death of Nick Adenhart, and that was just, it was so tough. I mean, it just, beyond the fact that he was a young stud prospect who was probably going to pitch well for the Angels for the next decade, it just, seeing a human being excel at something, seeing him on a baseball field and then not be there the day after is just, it's so wild. And obviously as Angels fans, we have some recent history with that. Seeing Tyler Skaggs pass away unexpectedly a couple years ago was just as difficult. But I mean, just seeing this happen on two occasions in the last 10, 15 years of Angels baseball is, it was just brutal. But like I mentioned before, the response from the Angels the rest of the season was really, it was just very moving. So we'll get into some of the more positive highlights, but I first wanted to touch on Aiden Hart's last game. So the next highlight I'm going to skip forward to didn't actually happen on the baseball field that year, but it happened in June during the Major League Baseball draft when the Angels selected a youngster out of Millville, New Jersey.
With the 25th selection in the first round of the 2009 first-year player draft, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim select Michael Trout. Michael is a center fielder from Millville Senior High School, Millville, New Jersey.
So that audio and the following audio is going to be courtesy of Major League Baseball's YouTube channel. And yeah, I think it's pretty insane that during this really incredible year for the Angels, where they were within games of the World Series, also happened to draft Mike Trout and a whole bunch of other players in that draft. I don't think we talk about this enough and how remarkable that draft was in 2009. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that this was the most impressive draft in baseball history. I mean, you pick Mike Trout, Randall Grichuk, Tyler Skaggs, Patrick Corbin, and Garrett Richards in the same draft. That does not happen in Major League Baseball. You look at the history and there are so many misses that you have. To be able to hit on that many guys and hit on a guy like Mike Trout is truly, truly incredible. And that's just one of those, we've talked about it a lot as Angels fans in the community, like how lucky the Angels really were to be able to see Mike Trout fall that far, because if they don't draft him, I mean, the current state of the organization is looking very, very different. So I'm going to skip forward to a game from late July where the Angels went back-to-back-to-back against the Cleveland Indians.
But they'll go from there to the Bay Area. There's an interesting scenario coming up. Juan hits one to deep center field. Way back in center goes Francisco. Welcome back to the lineup, Juan Rivera. His first at bat, and he hits it out.
And the Phillies are playing up against the Giants in a same stadium, and this ball is going to be leaving.
Morales drives one to right field. Back-to-back home runs for the Eagles. It was 2-0 Indians. Two batters later, it's tied at 2.
This offense is truly amazing.
Napoli drives one. That's deep to left center field. And that's the third consecutive home run for the Angels in the second inning to take the lead. Wow.
So I felt like this was an important highlight to include because it kind of touches on what I was talking about earlier with the position players. This was not, you know, some one-dimensional team. It wasn't like how the current Angels teams are where you have Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon, maybe Shohei Ohtani and David Fletcher, but then the rest of the lineup or the rest of the team isn't able to supplement some of those good players. This Angels team, top to bottom on their position players, they could beat you 1-9. And this was one of those moments that I think resonated with me because it was just like, okay, like guys like Juan Rivera, Mike Napoli, I mean, this, you had dudes throughout the entire lineup pitching in. And I do want to also acknowledge the fact that that was Rory Marcus's last year as the Angels broadcaster. And this was just yet another devastating moment for the Angels and their organization. Rory Marcus died in early 2010 at the age of 54. He had a sudden heart attack and he was gone just like that. And Rory was one of the main play-by-play guys for the Angels during basically their glory days. I mean, he was doing calls during the 2002 World Series run for all their division titles, and he was really, really just one of the best announcers out there at that time. And I do miss hearing his calls on the TV broadcast, but I will say if there's any positive to take out of that whole thing is the Angels were able to find another announcer in Victor Rojas, who has been really just a phenomenal announcer over the last decade or so. Next up, game in August where Vladimir Guerrero entered a game against the Rays where he had 398 home runs, was able to hit home run 399 early on in the game, and then later on hit career home run number 400.
Down the right field line, opposite field, toward the foul pole, and it hit the foul pole! Home run number 400 for Vlad Guerrero, and it gives the Angels the lead in the seventh inning.
So another personal note, I mean, Vlad was my guy. I mean, he was a big reason why I got into Angels baseball. I mean, yes, after the World Series, that was obviously big, but I grew up loving watching Vladimir Guerrero. So being at Angel Stadium that night to see him hit this milestone home run was really, really just remarkable. And I've touched on it before in this episode and prior episodes. Vlad was definitely on the decline at this point, but was able to have some of his best moments in an Angels uniform in his last year with the Angels. Next up, late September, the Angels clinched their third straight AL West division title.
1-2 to Kinsler. Santana. Ground ball to Figgins. That's it! The Angels have won three straight American League West titles, and Irvin Santana shuts out the Rangers to win the West.
This was a really fun one. This was not even a particularly close game. The Angels went up really early, ended up winning 11-0. Irvin Santana pitches a shutout, and just a really, really fun moment. Being able to clinch at home is obviously always fun, and the fact that they were able to celebrate and honor Nick Adenhart on the same field where he pitched his last game was really, really cool. And I'll definitely include that video highlight in the description, but you should go check that out just to get remember when they went to go celebrate at the center field wall with Nick Adenhart's picture on it. It was a really, really cool moment. But going into the playoffs, Angels fans were, like myself, were definitely nervous to play the Red Sox. Game one, Angels break the nervous energy when Torii Hunter comes up with one of the biggest home runs in Angels playoff history.
There goes Abreu at first. Hunter swings away, hits a drive to center. Ellsbury back at the wall, it's gone! 3-run home run for Torii Hunter. And the Angels strike first. They lead it 3-0 with one swing of the bat from Torii Hunter.
Yeah, that was really just an incredible moment. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that that was one of the biggest home runs in Angels playoff history, because that was one of those turning points for the Angels. It was like the first time in a series against the Red Sox of that decade that things actually looked positive, and obviously the Angels would go on to win this series. So that was a pivotal moment for both Torii Hunter and the Angels. And the next moment I want to bring up is Vladimir Guerrero's go-ahead two-run single in Game 3 of the ALDS in Boston to give the Angels the lead.
They're loaded for the Angels with two outs. Guerrero swings and lines it into center field. It's in for a hit. From third base comes Figgins to tie the score. Here comes Abreu, and the Angels will take the lead. With two outs in the ninth inning, they have scored three times to take the lead.
Like I mentioned before, this was a year for Vlad where he was hurt and not quite where he was before, but had his 400th home run, had this huge go-ahead single to help send the Angels to the next round in the playoffs, had a big home run in the ALCS. I mean, yeah, from a pure numbers perspective, he wasn't himself that year, but you couldn't have possibly imagined him having much bigger moments in his final year with the Angels. And the final moment I want to bring in is Game 3 of the ALCS, where Jeff Mathis, the unexpected hero with the walk-off in extra innings.
Pitching stuff with Alfredo Aceves. I know he was good out of the bullpen, racked up 10 wins. Here's a shot into left center field. This ball is over the head of Hairston. Here comes Kendrick. Angels win Game 3.
Super fun moment. Obviously, the Angels would go on to lose in Game 6 of this series, but this was a season that was definitely not short on memorable highlights and moments and pure success on the field. So I really enjoyed looking back at some of these highlights in that memorable 2009 season. That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. As a reminder, if you want to contact me, you can do so at BrentJMcGuire94@gmail.com. And you can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. As far as what's coming next, I'm almost done with these playoff series or playoff season recaps. I've got the 2014 season, so that'll come up at some point this week. But that's going to be it for all of those ones. And then we're going to be really at the offseason to kind of see what's going to happen for the Angels, who their GM's going to be, and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm going to continue to work on some plans for what's coming up. I do think that I'm going to do some more series like this, maybe look back at some of the GMs in Angels franchise history, maybe do like a top 50 list for the Angels. Those are some things I have in mind. So you can expect some more engaging conversation like this coming up in the future. But that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk on Tuesday for some Angels and playoff baseball.